So, first of all, please accept my humble obeisances, all the Avatari Desh devotees, Vancha Kalpatarubhayas Chakripa Sindhubevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Jai. So, we are back again. Last Friday, we were discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 31, and we will continue the same. So, we will just pray to Srimad Bhagavatam and then we'll start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayo mudiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naischiki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Agnanati Mirandhasya Agnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Holiness Jayapata Goswami Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind Ki Jai. So, last Friday we were discussing from the Rasapancha Adhyaya text, chapter 31, and we discussed how in the middle of the Rasa Leela, Krishna just disappears. And when Krishna disappears, the gopis along with Radharani are on the bank of Yamuna, and then they are all crying in separation of Krishna. So we completed text 1, 2, 5. We'll give a little recap of those texts for those who must have not attended the last Friday class, and then we will jump to our today's verse. So we discussed that how it was not one gopi, two gopi, there were millions of gopis assembled there on that particular autumn night. It was a very beautiful moonlit night. And Krishna had disappeared, and the gopis, out of love for Krishna and out of separation, were one by one singing very beautiful verses. So in the text 1, we discussed that how the gopis were very positive. They said, Krishna, don't think that just because we are ordinary cowherd girls and because you just disappear from our vision, we will accept our defeat and just go away. We are not going to go away. We are going to stay here. We know you will come back. And we are holding our life in our hands just because we are sure you are going to come back. And when you come back, if you can't see us, you will feel bad. So just for that, we are somehow holding our lives. So in the text 2, we discuss how the gopis are saying that, Krishna, you are so beautiful. Your glance is so beautiful. When it falls on the lotus which is grown in the middle of the river in the autumn night, it looks beautiful, but your glance is more beautiful, and because of your glance it grows so well in fine quality. And then the gopi says that, well, we are your maid servants. Why do you want to kill us? Please come back, Krishna, please come back. Don't do this. Please appear in front of us. We are very simple ladies. Don't do this to us. Then in the text 3, we discuss how the gopis were saying that, Krishna, you protected us in the past, and you are also going to protect us in the future. So why are you killing us in the present? Please be visible in front of our eyes. Just come back, Krishna. Please come back. And then in the text 4, the gopi says that, look Krishna, it's not that we don't know who you are. We know you are not just simply the son of Devaki and Nanda. You are Paramatma, you are in Akhila Dehinam, you are an Antaratma of everybody, you are there. And we know for a sure that you are hearing our cries. So you cannot act innocent that I don't know you were crying. We know that you are able to hear our prayers. Why are you being so cruel? Krishna, please come back. Please come back. That's what the gopis are saying. And then in text 5, we spoke about a very important point that the gopis made. The gopis said, Krishna, whoever takes your shelter, you give them abhayam. And abhayam from what? Abhayam from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Samsriter bhayat. They are relieved from this samsriter bhayat when they take your shelter. So last Friday we discussed in detail that how in this world there are many kinds of fear. But the biggest fear that the devotees of Krishna have is that in case if we are distracted and if we are tempted by the material objects in this world, and somehow if we can't make it back to Godhead, somehow if we are stuck in this world, then what will happen is what the devotees are worried about. Because sometimes it so happens that when you are long time in a particular situation, then your body, your mind becomes conditioned to that. Like for example, if we are for a long time in this material world, then we start feeling very comfortable here. And that is where the danger starts. This is something like, you know, the birds, if they are for a long time in the cage, after some time when you open the cage, the birds would not want to come out and fly because they become so used to staying in that cage. So even our situation is something very much similar like that. We are all in this jail of this material world, but over a period of time we have become so used to and we have become so comfortable here that we don't want to move. Our situation is something like of somebody in a jail. See, imagine there are few people who have been locked up in a jail. Now what do we expect if somebody is locked up in a jail? We expect that they will be discussing, oh, when will be relieved from this jail? That is what the normal discussion should be. But imagine if the people in the jail are having a discussion like, that particular jail number 2, his uniform is so white in color. I really feel so envious. And see, our uniform, it's blue in color. You know, that jail, it has a very good Philips tube light. You know, how come in our jail, this kind of tube light is there? You know, in that jail, this particular facility is there, but in our jail. Now, if at all we hear such conversation, we'll feel it's foolish. If you are in the jail, your discussion should be, when are we going to get out of this jail? But imagine if you start discussing about how to decorate the jail, how to make it look more beautiful, how come this prisoner's uniform is more white than my, is he using Arial Surf, is he using Surf Excel? Then it is a foolish conversation. But this is what everybody of us are doing. We are in this jail, and we need to figure it out how to get out of this place. But then what we are all the time busy figuring out is how to make ourselves more comfortable in this jail. Like many times when devotees used to come with some questions to Prabhupada, Prabhupada this, Prabhupada that, sometimes Prabhupada used to say, don't worry so much about this world, just worry how will we get out from this place. You know, because you know in ISKCON there is this one very big controversial question about how did we actually land up here. Many of the time the devotees ask the question. We know that if we have once gone back to Goloka Vrindavan, then na punar janma, we don't have to come back to this world. And if that is true, at the first place, why did we even come down? Were we pushed by Krishna? Why did we even have the mentality to live independently? Because once somebody is in Goloka Vrindavan, why will that kind of mentality come? So where were we originally? How did we come down? So sometimes there is such a controversy about this question. And devotees went to ask Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, this devotee is saying like this, but he is saying we perpetually stay here. So what is the truth? And Prabhupada said, instead of figuring out how have we landed up here, let's figure out how to get out of this place. Let's try to get out from this place, right? See, this is something like if there is a fire in somebody's house, and imagine if they are only discussing, why do you think the fire must have happened? What may be the cause of the fire? Do you think the matchstick caused the fire or the cylinder caused the fire? Now that will be a stupid conversation. The fire is happening, just run out of the house. Forget about why it started, who started and how it started. So this is what is the biggest worry that the devotees have, that we shouldn't start getting comfortable. Because imagine somebody like Indra also had that problem. When Indra was cursed by Brihaspati and he became a pig in the material world and eating stool. And when the devatas came requesting that, Indra, you are the king of heaven and let's go back. And we all know this very famous story of how Indra said, I'm sorry, I don't want to come back. I'm very busy here because I have my pig wife and my little piglets. And just look, somebody has passed stool. It's very fresh. I need to go and eat that. Don't disturb me. And all the devatas are surprised at how powerful is the Lord's Maya. You know, here is the Indra, king of heaven. And now, just because he's in the body of the pig, he has forgotten that he is the king of heaven. So this is so true with everybody. I remember in my college when we were reading about this French Revolution, there was this very, very interesting thing that I came across in that book. And they were talking about how during the French Revolution, lot of men, young men who were revolting were put inside a jail for a long time. And when the revolution was over, they opened the jail and they asked all these men to come out. But all these men were like, we don't want to come out because we got so used to now living here, because it's all the time dark inside our jail and we are supplied some bread, you know, underneath the door, and we are so comfortable. Whereas they were not comfortable. They were crammed in bunker beds, hundreds of them, no sunlight coming in. But over a period of time, they just became so comfortable that they even forgot that how the outside world is like. And this is what is happening with us. We become so comfortable in this material world that we are thinking, we don't know what it is like in the spiritual world. So we are comfortable here. And sometimes, yeah, this is what is the biggest danger a devotee may feel. He may just feel, I'm fine here. I don't have to go anywhere. So here the gopis are talking about, samsriter bhayat, my dear Lord, if somebody takes your shelter, then you give them abhayam and you relieve them from all kinds of fear. And that is a very interesting point, because as we were discussing last Friday, I was telling that, see, this Maya is so powerful because she is Krishna's own energy. So unless and until we take Krishna's help, we can't defeat Krishna's energy. You see, in Ramayana also, this very beautiful pastime comes of how when Sugriv goes to Vali for fighting, Vali and Tara, Vali's wife, she's very intelligent. She tells Vali, her husband, that the way Sugriv is coming so confidently and challenging you for a fight, looks like somebody is there behind him. She was very intelligent to understand that how can somebody get so much confidence? He was a coward and now suddenly he got so much confidence, so there is somebody who is supporting him. So why did Sugriv get all the confidence? Because Lord Ram was holding his hand, right? So similarly, only when we hold Krishna's hand can we very confidently face Maya. Otherwise, it's very difficult because it's Krishna's own energy and it is as powerful as Krishna. So that is where we completed last Friday. We'll start with our today's verse. Vraja janarthihan virayoshitam nija jana smaya dvam sanasmita bhaja sakhe bhavat king karismano jalaruhanunam charudarshaya. Very beautiful. The gopis are saying, hey Krishna, you have come here for Vraja Janarthi Han. Arthi means suffering. Vrajajana means you have come here, appeared here to relieve all these Vrajavasis, Vrajajana, from their suffering. But are we not part of the Vrindavan Vasi? We are also part of Vraja, is it not? So when you have come to relieve all of their suffering, oh Krishna, why aren't you relieving our suffering? Please come back. Please don't do this to us. We are suffering. We want to see you. So please relieve our suffering also. And then the gopis make another point here. They say, Veera Yoshitam. Veera means hero. So the gopis are saying, dear Krishna, you are a hero. And what is a hero supposed to do? He's supposed to protect the heroine, right? That is what we see in the Bollywood films. What does the hero do? When the heroine is in the in the custody of the villain, and then there is a lot of fightings going on, and then the hero suddenly jumps from nowhere and he just protects his heroine, right? We see that some villain is bashing or beating up the hero's father and he suddenly jumps. So here the gopis are also saying, you are the hero of the women. What the women like? They like to see some, heroic boy with all that, masculine strength, and he'll just jump from somewhere and he'll just protect. That is what we see in the normal movies. So the gopis are asking here, you are a hero. So come on, we are dying here. So won't you come? Won't you jump? Just come and appear in front of us and protect us, Krishna. You are a veera. You're supposed to protect the women, is it not? So here it says, Vraja Janarthi Han Veera Yoshitam. You are a hero. Please come and protect us, Krishna. Don't do this to us. And then the gopis say, Nija Janas Maya Dvam Sanasmita. So, all the Vrajavasis are your own people. That we understand. But aren't we a little more closer to you? Nija Jana, we are your own friends, is it not? So when you are protecting everybody, why not protect your own people, your Nija Jana? Please come and protect us. And then the gopis talk about Krishna's smile. Dvam sanasmita. Because the gopis are discussing among themselves, oh, why is he doing this to us? Why is he not appearing in front of us? Maybe the other gopi is probably saying, oh, he's not coming because, we made a mistake. We showed ego. We showed pride during the Rasalila. So maybe just Krishna wants to punish us. And because of that, he's not being visible in front of us. So the other gopi says, oh, is that the matter? Such a small matter? Just because of our pride, Krishna is not appearing? So gopis are probably reminding Krishna, hey Krishna, it's not only us who made this mistake of showing you pride. Remember, Indra also showed you pride, is it not? But what did you do to remove Indra's pride? Indra was also full of pride. And because of his pride, he sent the clouds. And what did Krishna do to smash Indra's pride? He simply lifted the Govardhan hill and he gave a beautiful smile to Indra. And the moment the egoistic Indra looks, oh, here is Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill and his beautiful smile, immediately his pride is crushed. Because he becomes so humble. Oh, I was thinking so great about myself, but here is a little boy, just in his little finger, he lifts the whole hill and he stops the clouds, which are so powerful. Usually I send these clouds during the pralaya. At the end of the world, I send these pralaya clouds, and so simply this boy is lifting up. So gopis are saying that you smash the pride of Indra just with a small smile. But when it comes to smashing our pride, then you are giving us such a big punishment by not being present before us. Is it fair? Aren't you being partial? Be equal. Just like you smashed Indra's pride with smile, my dear Lord, just please come in front of us. Because the moment, you see, in this material world also, sometimes apparently somebody may be very egoistic. But when they come in front of Krishna and they see the beautiful form of Krishna and they see Krishna is more beautiful than them, he's more stronger than them, he's more famous than them, he's more richer than them, he's more renowned than them, immediately their ego dries up, right? So it's just that for the ego to dry up, Krishna needs to come in front. But here Krishna is doing something opposite. He is going away. So the gopis are saying, don't do that. Just come in front of us, Krishna. Don't hide from us and our pride will go away. So here it says, Bhaja sakhe bhavat kinkari smano. Now the gopis are using another astra. They are saying that, all right, maybe we were not your obedient, servant because we showed pride. But now we'll be obedient. We won't repeat again. We made a mistake. But now we'll be very obedient made servant. We won't do this mistake again. Krishna, please come back. Please come back. Don't do this to us. So here he's saying, and then the gopis are saying, what we want to see? We want to see your beautiful face which looks like Jala Ruhana Naam. Look like a beautiful lotus flower. So we want to look at that beautiful face of yours, Krishna. Please come back. So here says Charu Darshaya. Charu means beautiful. So we want to see that beautiful face of yours, Krishna. Please come back. Now we'll go to the next sloka. Pranata Dehinam Papakarshanam Trinacharanugam Shri Niketanam Fani Fanarpitam Te Padam Bhujam Krina Kucheshuna Krindihrichayam. Now the Gopikas, till now what did they ask Krishna? They said, Krishna, we want your hand. So Krishna said, why do you want my hand? They said, nothing, just place your hand on our head. Now the gopikas are saying, not only your hand, we want your feet also, Krishna. Which feet we are talking about? That same feet, pranata dehinam papakarshanam, that same feet which gives shelter to the devotees. Anybody who surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, they are purified of all their sins. That feet we are talking about, Krishna, that feet of yours, we want that feet. We are talking about that same feet of yours, which Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha is serving regularly. She is serving your feet. Krishna, we are talking about that same feet of yours with which you go behind the cows. When you take the cows for grazing, your sweet lotus beautiful feet are running behind those cows. And now Krishna may say, why should I give you those feet? That feet I gave to Lakshmi Devi. Or Krishna may say, that feet I give to cows because cows, I love the cows. Cows give me milk and I'm attached to them. That's why I run behind the cows with that feet. Or he may say, I give those feet to those devotees who are surrendered to me. So now the gopikas are putting the final line. No, 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 don't say that. We know you very indiscriminately give your feet to everybody. Because Fani Fanarpitam Te Padam Bhujam, your beautiful lotus like feet you have also given to Kaliya. Kaliya has no quality. He was envious snake. So how did you, he is not your devotee, so why did you give your feet to Kaliya? That means you are indiscriminately giving your feet to just about anybody and everybody. And if that is true, then why don't you give your feet to us, Krishna? This is what we are asking. We don't want anything. We just want your two lotus feet. And we want to keep your feet on our chest. Oh Krishna, please come back. Please come back and give your feet to us. This is very, 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 very beautiful. You see, if we just get deeper into this sloka, it's true. Krishna is so, so much magnanimous. And he's very easily gives himself to just about anybody. The problem is we are not even asking for it. That's the whole problem. Are we even asking for it? Because if we ask for it, he's ready to give it. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, he says in one context, he says, Krishna is not only Bhakta Vatsala, he is Kripana Vatsala also. He is ready to give himself to just about anybody, even if somebody is not his devotee. He is ready to give himself to just about anybody and everybody. So, Kripana means who is a miser. So, even if somebody is a miser, Krishna is ready to give himself. I remember this a very beautiful story that I had heard in my childhood. It is from Gujarat, Saurashtra. And it's very, very like a story which all the Gujarati household, they know the story very well. It's about a Kripana, a Gujarati businessman. Now, he was a miser. So, and one fine day, a thought comes in his mind. I want to pray to Krishna, but my praying should be such that I shouldn't spend even 1 rupee. Then I am ready to, pray to Krishna. So he just goes to a Guruji and he says, Guruji, I have a desire to worship Krishna, to pray Krishna, to do bhakti. But I want to do a bhakti which does not involve any money. Is there any such kind of a bhakti that I am ready to do? Now this saintly person was thinking in his mind, even though he is a Kripana, he is a miser, at least a thought has arisen in his mind to worship Krishna. I should somehow or the other engage him, because according to the scriptures, even a desire to worship Krishna doesn't come so easy. After many, many births of earning lot of sukriti, lot of punya karma, that one desire will come in our heart that I want to see Krishna, or rather I want to go to a temple, or I want to do bhakti. That one desire will come after so many lifetimes. That is why Prabhupada was so particular that if anybody comes to our temple, make sure that you give them the best of the treatment and you somehow or the other connect them to the way, the pathway of Krishna consciousness, because after so many lifetime of sukriti, they must have got this one desire in their heart to visit a temple. And if at this time we somehow or the other don't hold them and connect them to Krishna, we don't know when again they will get this opportunity. So now, when this man goes and asks that, okay, without money, I'm ready to do bhakti. So then this Guruji says, all right, I have a very nice bhakti. You get up every day early morning by 4 o'clock, take bath, and then you start worshipping Krishna. Then again this man says, Swamiji, just now I told you, I can't spend money, without money. Then Guruji says, well, I'm not asking you to spend any money. What I'm simply asking you to do is do some manasi seva. That means you do the seva with your mind. So after taking bath, you sit down in a proper posture, in an asana, and then you close your eyes, and then you imagine you are waking up your Laddu Gopal. He had a Laddu Gopal. You know, Gujaratis, they worship Laddu Gopal. So you're waking up your Laddu Gopal and you're putting perfume on his body. And Gopal is saying, I don't want to wake up now. He's putting his face this way and then he's putting his face that way. And you are just requesting him, sing some beautiful song, wake him up. Then you make him take bath. And then you dress him nicely. And then he says, put some nice flower. And again this miser said, look, I can't buy flowers. And this guru is like, did I tell you to buy something? I'm asking you to do everything mentally. Just close your eyes and do everything inside your mind. Nice flowers for him. And now you make a nice halwa for him. And then you put a tulsi leaf. And then you make an offering. So you do this every day from morning 4:30 to 5:30. Manasi seva. And then Krishna will become very happy with you. And you don't even have to spend a rupee on this. And he was so happy. He said, this is wonderful. So every day he made it into a routine. He used to get up in the morning. He used to serve the deities mansik, just by his mind. Now he kept on doing it for a few months. And lo and behold, there was a lot of change. He was feeling so happy serving the Lord every day. So he told his Guruji, I'm very happy, Guruji. You have given me such a nice service. You know, I don't have to spend so much money. I don't have to spend any money. So he was very happy. Now, he kept on doing this for many, many years, almost 12 years. Now, one fine day, it so happened that it was his son's marriage. So, you know, marriage means what will happen. It's a late night program and party and lot of guests and all. And he slept very late. So, next day morning, he got up late. But he doesn't want to leave his seva puja. That is his niyam. He has taken a niyam that he will do it regularly. So then, in the morning, because he's already late, so he just very quickly does all the seva today. Very, very quickly makes Krishna bath. Today, slowly massaging, nothing. Quickly, he make Krishna took bath, mentally only. And then quickly he put the dress for Krishna and quickly he put the garland for Krishna, because now he has to go and make the halwa. Now what happens when you make halwa? You just roast some some rava, and on one side you just, you know, put some sugar and little water and make a syrup ready. So he was just taking a, you know, mentally, he was taking a bowl and he took sugar. Now, he had a habit of every day putting 4 spoonful of sugar. But today, because he was in a hurry, he ended up putting 6 spoons of sugar. Now, after putting 6 spoons, this is all mentally happening. He suddenly thought in his mind, "Hey, I put 2 spoons extra." So he immediately started taking out the, you know, 2 spoons back. And when he was doing that, what actually happened? Krishna appeared, and then Krishna held his hand tightly, very sweetly. Krishna came, because he was worshipping in Laddu Gopal form. So Krishna came crawling on his 4 legs and held his hand tightly, and he said, "Baba, what will happen if you put 2 spoons extra sugar?" This is just mentally, right? It's not that you are actually putting, just mentally putting it. So what happens, you know, in Hindi you say, "Tumhare baap ka kya jata hai?" You know, what will your father lose if you give 2 spoons extra? Even in mentally also, you are being such a miser. Leave that 2 spoons. Let my halwa be a little more sweet today. And then this man, he suddenly opens his eyes that, what am I seeing? And lo and behold, he sees Krishna is there, right there, mukhamukhi, face to face, he's seeing Krishna. And Krishna is holding his hand tightly. And Krishna is laughing very mischievously. And then he just disappears. And this devotee is so surprised that just because I mentally served Krishna, Krishna appeared, Krishna accepted my seva. So it is actually so easy to please Krishna. It's just that one needs to have that sincerity. Krishna doesn't want our money or our vaibhav or our aishwarya. What he really wants is our mind. What he really wants is that feeling. If we can do something with feeling, he will accept it. Today morning only I was hearing this very beautiful lecture of Prabhupada. This particular extract from Prabhupada lecture has become viral everywhere, and I guess all of you must have heard it at some point of time, because it was going everywhere, making circles in WhatsApp, where Prabhupada is talking about Sanatan Goswami giving the chapatis to his deities Gopal, Madan Gopal, and Madan Gopal is saying, "Sanatan, how am I supposed to eat? You're not even giving me salt." And Sanatan Goswami says, "But I'm old man, you know. Dear sir," I'm saying exactly what Prabhupada said, "sir, eat whatever is there, because I'm an old man. So whatever I bring, kindly accept." And then Prabhupada says, you know, you should actually hear this in Prabhupada's voice. You'll be moved to tears. And then Prabhupada says that, "Bhaktyaman abhijanadi," Krishna wants your devotion. With bhakti, you give him anything, he's ready to accept. And then in the next line, Prabhupada starts crying. And then Prabhupada says, "Be very careful with Krishna. Don't be puffed up. What can you give to Krishna? What do you have? What is your value? What can you offer him? He's a supreme lord. What can you offer? So be careful when you are dealing with Krishna. Don't be puffed up." And then Prabhupada starts crying. Such a beautiful clip. I'm sure you must have already seen. If you have not seen, I'll send it in one of your group and you can circulate. And Prabhupada cries. Every word is so deep, touching the heart. It's true. What can we give to Krishna? What do we have? What is our value? But then Prabhupada says, one thing we can do. Bhakti. We can give our mind to Krishna, because that we have. We may not have anything else we possess, but if we can give our love to Krishna, feelings to Krishna, our devotion to Krishna, that he will accept. Otherwise, everything is there with him. So, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya. You know, with bhakti, if we give something, he's going to take it. So here, the gopis are saying that, "Krishna, you gave your feet to everybody. Please give those 2 lotus feet to us. Krishna, please come back." We'll go to the next sloka. So here it says, "Madhuraya gira valguvakyaya buddha manognaya pushkare kshana vidhi karirima viramuyati adharasidhu na ya 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 Shvanam. It's a very, very beautiful sloka. Now, Krishna may say, well, respected ladies, you wanted my hand, all right. And then you said you wanted my legs. Very good. So, let me come quickly and give my hands on your head and give my legs. And then can I go? That's all you want, na? So, I'll give and go. So, that's why the gopis are saying, no, 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 no. It's not only about your hand or about your leg. No. We want that you should come and stay with us and you should talk to us, Krishna. Please speak to us. We want to hear you. We want to hear your voice. So here, the gopis are saying, Madhuraya Gira. Krishna, your voice is so sweet. And not only is your voice sweet, even what you speak is so sweet. The content is so sweet. So, Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya. Every vakya, every word that comes off your mouth is so sweet to hear. Krishna, we want to hear that voice again. We want to hear those words again and again. Oh, Krishna, please come back. We want to hear you talk. And then they say, Buddha Manognaya. Oh, maybe Krishna will think that, oh, these cowherd girls, they're crazy, they're fan of mine, you know, they want to hear my voice, they want my legs, they want my, you know, hands, and they want to hear. So they're saying, no, 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 it's not only we who is crazy for you. Buddha Manognaya, even intelligent people, they become crazy for you the moment they hear your voice, the moment they hear your sweet words. Mesmerizing words. So Buddha Manognaya, even intelligent people, they get bewildered. They get bewildered. They fall for you the moment they hear you, Krishna. So it's not only us, everybody. And then he says, Pushkarekshana. Krishna, not only your voice, not only your words. Krishna, we want to see your merciful glance. Pushkarekshana, how is your glance? Pushkara means lotus and ikshana means your lotus like eyes. So we want to see your lotus like eyes. So here gopis are praising Krishna. Krishna, your voice is sweet, your words are sweet, your eyes are sweet. They're praising Krishna. So please come back. We want to see you. See, the problem is the gopis are saying that because we know you and because we are attached to you, it's becoming a big problem. Let's say we don't know you, we never spoke to you, we never heard you, then no problem. But the problem is, you were so close to us just now. Just now you were talking with us. Just now you were touching us. Just now you were playing with us. So just now we have enjoyed that association with you once. And now if you suddenly disappear, it's very difficult. Once you get attached to somebody, it's very difficult to give it up. So, the thing is, the gopis were friends of Krishna, right? And you know what the friends do? Now imagine, all this Raslila is not happening between some adults. It's actually happening between very little young girls and boys. So what do little children do? They have this habit of sharing all their secrets with their best friends, right? So Krishna is the best friends of the gopis. So the gopis are like, you're our best friend and you shared with us so many confidential things. And where did you share? Not this city, that city, just here, just a few minutes ago. In this kunja you said this, and in that kunja and under that tree you said that day, remember? So they are just remembering all those talks of Krishna. How he spoke with them so beautifully, sometimes sharing something, sometimes sharing something. So we are again and again reminded of those beautiful words. Oh Krishna, please come back. Please come back. We want to hear you again. This Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya. Every word of yours we are remembering. Krishna, don't give us this pain. Please come back. We want to hear you again. See, imagine like Arjun. You see, in case of Arjun, Krishna said to Arjuna, Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hetada uttamam. Because you are my friend, because you are my devotee, I'm revealing this secret to you. Now imagine how Arjun must be feeling, you know, even in this material world, even ordinary material relations, we get so attached. Imagine somebody is our friend and very close friend, and suddenly the friend is no more. It becomes so difficult. Imagine if the Supreme Personality of Godhead tells somebody, "You are my friend, you are my devotee," what will happen to that person? And after that, if he cannot see, he will die. That is why Arjun was lamenting when Krishna left this world. Arjun said he just wanted to give up his life, and Yudhishthira Maharaj had to control Arjun because he had eaten with Krishna, slept with Krishna, spoke with Krishna, laughed with Krishna. It became so difficult for him to live without Krishna. We even see in Srimad Bhagavatam how, you know, when Maitreya and Vidur have this conversation, where Maitreya is telling Vidur that, you know, when Krishna was leaving this world, he told me that I should tell you, I should give you this divine knowledge. And then Vidur says, what? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead was leaving this world, he remembered me? Is it? He remembered me? And just hearing that, Vidur falls down, unconscious, in ecstasy. See, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, you are my friend, he says, I like you or I love you, it will become so difficult now to live without him. So the gopis are like, you know, you said so many nice things to us, and suddenly now you are not visible in front of us. It's very difficult, Krishna. And now they are just meditating on different parts of Krishna's body, his laugh, his eyes, you know, like... we have this very beautiful bhajan by Vallabhacharya. Adharam madhuram vadanam madhuram nayanam madhuram hasitam madhuram hridayam madhuram gamanam madhuram madhuradipater akhilam madhuram madhuradipater akhilam madhuram. Vallabhacharya says, adharam madhuram, your lips are so beautiful, your eyes are so beautiful, your walking is so beautiful, your laughing is so beautiful, your body is so beautiful. Everything about you is beautiful because you are the emperor of sweetness. Madhuram actually is sweetness. So he said, your smile is sweet, your laughing is sweet, your talking is sweet. Everything about you is sweet. You are the emperor of sweetness. So same thing here, gopis are saying, your eyes, your smile, your laugh, your words. Krishna, we are remembering everything. Please come back. Please come back. Don't do this to us. See now, when Lord speaks, it is so sweet. It is said that when Krishna used to speak in Vrindavan, everybody used to be freezed. Nobody used to move. Even the leaves of the trees used to stop, because they are worried that if we move and the wind blows, then maybe we'll miss one word of what Krishna is talking, and we don't want to miss even one letter of what he talks. So even the deer and the cow and the monkeys and the insects and the water of Yamuna, everything used to stop. When Krishna opens his mouth, everybody stops, because they don't want to miss even a letter which comes out from his lips. That sweet Krishna speaks, right? See, in this world, sometimes we see some people may be having a very sweet voice, but the content what they speak may be all what the crows speak, you know, which is not Krishna conscious or which is not very sweet. Or sometimes somebody may not be having a sweet voice, but they may be speaking about Krishna. The content may be very good. But in the case of Krishna, not only is his voice good, even what he speaks is so full of sweetness. Every word is so sweet. So the gopis are saying that we want again that nectar, adharam, which comes from your lips. We want to hear again and again, oh Krishna, please come back. See, the problem is, if you have a fight with somebody whom you love, the fair way of going about it is, the person comes and shouts on you, look, I'm very angry with you, and why did you do this and why did you do that? It's fair. But if that person doesn't talk to you, doesn't come in front of you, then that is very painful. So the gopis are saying, just come and do whatever. You want to get angry on us, scold us, do whatever. But don't disappear from our sight. That is unbearable. come and talk to us, Krishna. Please come and talk to us, right? See, imagine even in this material world, you know, when you hear somebody who is very far off distance, you know, somewhere, like for you people, you know, if you're calling somebody in India, or your far distance relatives, or somebody whom you are very close to but you haven't spoken for a long time, even when you hear their hello, oh, you will get so emotional, tears will come out. The moment you hear hello of the loved ones, the tears will come down. It's an emotion because you are so attached to the person. The same thing is happening with the gopis. They're so attached to Krishna. So everything that is connected to Krishna is giving them so much pain. Everything is reminding them of Krishna. Actually, this song of separation of the gopis is so painful. When we hear, for us it's very nice, we smiling and we just like the tune and the whole pastime, but we cannot even understand what the gopis are going through, because maybe we don't have that level of love for Krishna. But the gopis are crying, and they are in pain, they are in separation, and the tears are coming as they are singing this. Every single line that they are singing, they are crying. So they are saying, Krishna, your voice is so sweet. Your whatever you talk is so sweet. See, it's not only the Lord. Even the devotees of the Lord, when they speak, it is so beautiful, so powerful. See, we all have this experience. When Srila Prabhupada speaks, it's so touching to the heart. Whatever he speaks, it just touches our heart, right? Even Prabhupada may not be a Lata Mangeshkar or singing something very sweetly, but every word that comes out from his mouth touches our heart. Why? Because those who are devotees of Krishna, they have that same power like Krishna, and they mesmerize people with their talk and somehow make them Krishna devotee. We see even Janak Maharaj, it is said in the scriptures that when Janak Maharaj used to talk, he used to awaken the Kundalini Shakti, the Kundalini Chakra, the Mula Chakra, you know, which is below the, you know, near the spine. To awaken that Muladhar, Mula Chakra, it will take so many years of yoga practice. But Janak Maharaj was so powerful. His speech was so powerful that if somebody would hear him talking, then their Kundalini Shakti would awaken just like that. And we see in the case of Prabhupada too. Prabhupada talks and he just makes people devotee. That's it. He doesn't have to do anything. We know this very famous pastime of how once Prabhupada was talking in a Sunday feast program, and some new person walks in, and the way Prabhupada talks, he just becomes devotee. And at the end of the lecture, he tells Prabhupada, my life is dedicated to you. I'm ready to do whatever you say. And then Prabhupada says, why don't you go and open a center in Amsterdam? And within 2 days, he packs the luggage and goes and open a center in Amsterdam. Now he's a new person, just walked in. And sometimes we get surprised, how did they get so much faith and how they got so much empowerment? Because the devotees of Krishna are also as powerful, and they can just awaken Krishna bhakti in just about anybody just by their talks. We see how in Srila Prabhupada's life, he was like a piped piper. He just brought all the hippies from different parts to India just by his talk. He didn't give them anything. Just by his talk on Krishna, by his Krishna katha, he made everybody, the whole world, devotee. And he's continuing to make everybody devotee. Today, everybody is becoming devotee only because of Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada's talks are there in his books. Thousands and lakhs of people are becoming devotees just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So even devotees are having that same quality. So here the gopis are saying, the Madhuraya Gira, Krishna, we want to hear again and again. Sometimes as devotees, we may feel that, the gopis are so lucky, they had a chance to hear Krishna Mukhamukhi. What about us? We don't get that opportunity to hear Krishna. But the Vaishnava Acharya says, even we have this opportunity. We are also hearing Krishna Mukhamukhi. How are we hearing Krishna? Directly by Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna has directly spoken it. Bhagavan Uvacha. So when we read Gita, or when we stand in front of the Vigraha of Krishna and look at his beautiful lips, we should remember this. that from his beautiful lips this Gita has come. So just like, you know, those that night the gopis were telling Krishna, we want to hear again and again, we want to hear you talk, and how we had this confidential talks with you. Even we are enjoying confidential talks with Krishna by again and again reciting, reading Bhagavad Gita and preaching to people about Bhagavad Gita. This way we are also connecting people to Krishna's Madhura Vakya, Krishna's Madhura Vani, by giving them Bhagavad Gita. So here the gopi says, Vidhi kari rima veera muyatir adhara siddhuna yaya yasvana. So, O Krishna, please come back, please come back. We are waiting to hear you again. Okay, so we'll go to the next sloka. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana. This is a very, very beautiful sloka, very, very historical sloka, very, very important sloka, because there are many pastimes connected to this sloka. And especially if you all remember when Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he spoke this, when he was reciting this particular sloka while massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet in the Jagannath Vallabh Gardens in Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spontaneously hugged Pratap Rudra Maharaj, because this is so, so beautiful sloka. So here, now the thing is, the gopis are all the while saying, Krishna, give your legs, give your hand, we want to talk to you, we are somehow holding our life, we may die, don't kill us, we are dying, Krishna, please come back. Now, maybe Krishna is asking them, you are all talking so much, but how come you still didn't die? Because you are saying that you will die without me and you can't live without me, but you are talking, but you are not dying, you are still alive. So, is it, what is this, you know? So, the gopis are clarifying, look, we would have died, but actually something is saving us. And what is saving us? Tava katha amritam, at katha amritam. Krishna, we would have died, but you know what is holding us? Your katha. Your katha is somehow keeping us alive. Now, who is speaking katha here? The gopis are actually talking to each other. While they are crying for Krishna, the gopis are, somebody is acting like Yashoda, somebody is acting like Damodar, and Yashoda is tying Damodar. Or somebody is doing the Kaliya pastime, acting like a snake, and somebody is climbing on the other gopi and acting like Krishna and subduing the Kaliya. So all these leelas are enacting it, and they are remembering him again and again, and that is how somehow they are holding their life together. So they are saying, Krishna, we are just alive because tava katha amritam. Krishna, your katha is like amrita, it is like a nectar, you know. And who gives this nectar? Says bhuvi grinanti ye bhuri dajana, your devotees, they give us this nectar. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulashekar Alvar says that the devotees of the Lord are so kind. It is like we are all in a desert. Now, what is the problem in the desert? The biggest problem in the desert is there is no water. Everybody is looking for water. But imagine in a desert if there is rain. Oh, it will be so pleasant. So that is what Mukunda Mala Sutra Kulashekar Alva says, that when your devotees speak katha, it is like a rain in the desert. And it's not a normal rain. It is a rain of nectar. See, in the desert, we are not expecting nectar. We are just expecting some water. But imagine if there is a rain of nectar, it's a bonus. So when the devotees speak katha, it's like a rain, it's like a nectar rain, right? So see, this it is so rightly compared, because this material world is definitely like a desert. we are all suffering. Every day morning we are singing samsara dava nalalidha loka. We are all suffering in this material world. Adi devik, adhyatmik, adi bhautik. This three tap is making us suffering. The only thing that is keeping us alive is Krishna katha. Only Krishna katha can relieve us from this three tap. That is why in Padyavali, text number 41, Rupa Goswami sings this very beautiful sloka. He says, Aho aho bhir nakale viduyate sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade dine dine chandana chandra shitale yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. In this world, aho aho bhir, in this Kali Yuga, everybody is suffering. But there is one person who is not suffering. Not only he is not suffering, he is actually enjoying. In this heated atmosphere, he is having a strawberry ice cream happily. What is that he is doing? Madhuram pade pade. He is enjoying sweet pade pade every single moment. And what kind of madhura? Dhara. Not a drop. It's raining for him sweet. And what is that? And not only is he enjoying every moment, every day his pleasure is increasing. Every single day it is like somebody is mixing camphor and chandan and applying on his body. Now imagine in this hot summer everybody is suffering, but this person is very happy enjoying camphor and chandan and pade pade he is enjoying. Why? Why is he enjoying? Because he is hearing to the pastimes of the son of Mother Yashoda. So because he's hearing about Yashoda's Tanayasya, Tanaya is son of Yashoda, that is why he's very happy. Even though everybody in this material world is suffering, but people who hear Krishna Katha, they are not suffering. They are always happy. So that's what the gopis are saying here. That Krishna, we are alive because we are hearing your katha. That is keeping us alive. And it is so true in our present lockdown situation. Everybody in the outside world is suffering. But the devotees are happy. They are hearing Krishna katha morning, afternoon, evening. And they are the only people who are able to remain happy in this world because of Krishna katha. So here he says that comparing Krishna's katha to nectar, but this is a very very special nectar. There is nectar in heaven also, but there is a problem with that nectar. The nectar in the heaven, when you drink that nectar, then your material desires increase, and when the material desires increase, then the suffering increase. But my dear Lord, your katha's nectar is such a nectar that the more you drink this nectar, the lesser your material desires become. Is it not? See, the problem in this world is desire. Even adhyatmik, adidevik, adibhautik tapa is not very big problem actually. Because, see, how long it can give you trouble? Now, see, what is this three tap? Either we suffer because of the prakriti, outside world, or we suffer because of our own health problem, or some other jiva gives us trouble. Now what is happening? Some other jiva is giving us trouble, is it not? We are all scared, or we are all in the lockdown because of a particular virus or because of the particular situation. Now how long can the situation go on? Okay, 6 months, 1 year, but some point it may stop. So any kind of a suffering, it's bearable. Sometimes, okay, it gives you pain for some time, but there is a starting point and there is an ending point. So that is not very big suffering. But the actual suffering in this world is not trita. The actual suffering in this world is the incessant flow of desire. This desire is one which is giving us a lot of trouble. Because the moment our desire is fulfilled, then our greed is increasing. If Krishna very kindly fulfills our desire, then we want a little more, a little more, a little more. And suppose if Krishna does not fulfill our desire, then our anger increases. Oh, why didn't Krishna help me? So if the desire is fulfilled, then greed is increasing. If the desire is not fulfilling, then anger is increasing. So sometimes we are angry, sometimes we are greedy. Anger, greedy, anger, greedy. So that means this desire is one which is a very big problem. See, our every desire is pregnant with the future misery. You can note this word. Our every desire is pregnant with future misery. Every material desire that we make, definitely in the future it's going to give us some or the other kind of problem or trouble. So what actually is a problem is a desire. Now, how do we give up desire? Then here is the answer. If you drink this katha amritam, this nectar, then your desire slowly decreases. We see in the conversation between Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, it is said that somebody hears Krishna katha, then what happens? His material desire decreases, attachment to Krishna increases, love for the devotee increases, from sinful reactions they are purified. All these are the byproducts of somebody hearing Krishna's katha. So here the gopis are saying that katha amritam, this amrit, what will happen? All our material desires will go away. So because we are hearing your katha amritam Krishna, somehow we are surviving. But please come back, please come back. Yeah? See, the katha of the Lord is so powerful. If we see in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj at the fag end of his life, he was in Badrikashram. And what he did? He was simply hearing Krishna Katha. And then the plane comes from Vaikuntha, and then the Vaikuntha drivers who have come with the plane, they bow down to Dhruva Maharaj and they said, Maharaj, it's time to go back, you know, to come back to Vaikuntha. And then Dhruva Maharaj says, fine. And then he sees that the Vaikuntha plane is a little very high. And there are no staircase, you know, the distance is very high. So he's just looking for, you know, how do I step on it? And then he sees that death personified is standing next to him. So Dhruva Maharaj asks him that, can you just bend down so that I can climb up the plane? So the death personified bends and Dhruva Maharaj puts his legs on the head of the death personified and climbs up the Vaikuntha plane. So what did Dhruva Maharaj do till the fag end of his life? He was hearing Katha Amritam. What did Parikshit Maharaj do till the fag end of his life? He was hearing Krishna Katha Amritam. So Parikshit Maharaj didn't see the Lord. He saw the Lord in the womb. But at the fag end of his life, when he was just about to leave his body, he didn't see Krishna. He heard Krishna. So hearing or seeing Krishna is the same. There is no difference. In the Navavida Bhakti, any of the Bhakti you can do interchangeably. Even if we are simply doing Shravanam, it is as powerful as seeing Krishna. Right? We see in the case of Draupadi, what happened when Draupadi was in that Asat Sabha and Dushasan was dragging her sari in front of all these people inside the court. And Draupadi was crying, hey Krishna, hey Madhusudan, hey Gopal. You know, when she was calling out, did Krishna come to protect Draupadi? No, he never came. Krishna never came to protect. Who protected Draupadi? It was Krishna's name. Krishna's name, because she was taking Harinam. She was calling Krishna's name. So Krishna's name protected Draupadi. Krishna didn't have to come. Just by chanting Krishna's name, his name protected Draupadi and supplied her with saris. So powerful is hearing about Krishna. If you can simply hear about Krishna. Brahma says in the Bhagavatam, there is a sloka where Lord Brahma says that Krishna enters through ears, karna randhrena. There is a hole here in our karna, ears, and that is a gateway for Krishna to enter. The moment somebody is talking about Krishna, he's speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna, immediately Krishna gets inside from the karna randhra, from the ears, and he goes inside and sits in that devotee's heart. See, the sweetness about Krishna is that he doesn't even wait for us to take his name constantly. Even if you take Krishna's name just once, he's ready to jump inside. It's not that, you know, the moment we begin our chanting, we begin our rounds, we said Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not that Krishna is waiting, he just started his round, let him complete his 16 rounds and then I'll just go inside his heart. He doesn't wait like that. The moment you say Hare Krishna, and that's it, Krishna, and Krishna is ready, jump. Oh, he's calling me, I need to go. And immediately he'll come inside and sit in the heart. Now somebody may think, but how is that possible? A devotee who just tells Krishna's name only once, he may not be purified. His heart may be full of dirt. How can Krishna just come immediately? But that's Krishna's job. The moment we call his name once, he immediately comes with a bucket and a jhadu and all the cleaning material, and he jumps inside our heart and he starts cleaning it. That's about it. So once you tell his name and he just cleans the whole place, he starts cleaning it and he'll purify it. Because it's smelling bad. We all know that. It smells bad. Our heart smells bad inside. But when the moment we take his name, he just jumps inside and he starts cleaning it. So tava katha amritam, the moment Krishna's name, his katha goes inside. And the beauty about Krishna's name is, see, in this world, there is no medicine about which if you simply talk, it will cure you. There is no such medicine. See, suppose if you come to me, Mataji, I got a hurt in my finger. It's bleeding. What I'll say? All right, put a sofremycin or Dettol and clean it and put bandage and, you know, Prabhu, then you will be fine. So now, simply my telling you is not going to make you fine. You'll actually have to go and buy a sofremycin, actually put it. Only then it will cure you. Is it not? But this medicine of Krishna is a little different kind of medicine. Simply by hearing, if somebody is only hearing, look, if you take Krishna's name, you will be cured. If you are simply hearing that, that also can cure you. What a medicine this is. You are not even chanting. You are not even following anything. You are simply hearing. Somebody is saying that, look, if you take Krishna's name, if you are simply hearing, then your healing process starts. Already you start becoming devotee. Already the cleaning process starts. So Shravanam by itself is such a powerful form of bhakti. Powerful form of bhakti. And we all know that wherever Krishna's name is, there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, right? Many times I keep telling in my lecture that once a devotee asked Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, is Krishna there in his holy name? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is not there in his holy name. And devotees were like, what is Prabhupada saying? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is not in his holy name. Krishna is the holy name. It's not that Krishna is inside the holy name. Krishna is the holy name. He himself. So there is no difference between Krishna and his name. There is no difference between Krishna and his katha. There is no difference between Krishna katha and Krishna prashad. There is no difference between Krishna prashad and Krishna vigraha. Everything is same. So whatever way we connect to Krishna, we are delivered. We are benefited. And of course, wherever Krishna katha is going on, along with Krishna, even Krishna's devotees are present. Everybody is present. So we are doubly benefited. In the Kevalashtakam, Nilakantha Goswami, he quotes a very beautiful sloka. He says, Hari sada vase tatra yatra bhagavata janaha gayanti bhakti bhavena harinameva kevalam harinameva kevalam. Hari sadavase, Lord is always there. Where there are bhagavata janaha, the devotees of the Lord are present. Yatra bhagavata janaha gayanti bhakti bhavena. If somebody is singing about Lord with devotion, Krishna is there. Krishna is very much there. So that's why the gopis are there. That gopis are saying that, yeah, apparently, yes, we are missing you, but tava katha amritam. Because katha is going on, you are here. And that is how we are able to stay alive, Krishna. Your katha is keeping us alive. So tava katha amritam. When we are hearing the katha of Krishna, it is said that even our breaths are not counted. Usually in this world, everybody has been given limited breath. Somebody is given, let's say, this many crores of breath, this many crore of breath. But every time that we are breathing, our breath is getting subtracted from the major quota that we have been allotted. But when we are hearing Krishna Katha, when we are doing Krishna Seva, when we are chanting Krishna's name, at that time, whatever breath we are taking doesn't get subtracted from our lifespan. So these are all like the bonus life that we are living. So here the gopis are saying, Tava Katha Amritam. Krishna, we are hearing your Katha, and that is what is keeping us alive, alive. And then in the third line, it says, Shravana Mangalam. What does your Katha do? Shravana Mangalam. Oh Krishna, your Katha is so auspicious. If somebody is hearing Krishna Katha, everything in their life will become Mangalam. Auspicious, auspicious. Nothing inauspicious can enter in that house. Nothing inauspicious can enter. Nilakanta Goswami says this in his Kevalashtakam. Madhuram madhure bhyopi, mangale bhyopi mangalam, pavanam pavane bhyopi, hari nameva kevalam. Hari Nam, Krishna's name, Krishna's Katha is so powerful. Mangale bhyopi mangalam. More auspicious than auspicious things in this world. Pavane bhyopi pavanam. More purifying than the purest thing in this world. Madhure bhyopi madhuram. More sweeter than the sweetest thing in this world. That is what is Krishna Katha. So the gopis are saying nothing amangal can happen. Shravana mangalam. Where your Katha, my Lord, everything is auspicious. That is why, as householders, as grihasthas, it is all the more important for us to hear Krishna's Katha. If we want, everything should be auspicious in our house. And wherever Krishna Katha goes on, Lord comes and stays there. We hear in the Ramayana, when Lord Ram went to the forest, he goes to Valmiki and he asks Valmiki, Muni, respected sir, where should I make my hut? Where should I reside? Because if I reside very close to Ayodhya, then all these Ayodhya residents will keep on coming to me. Then Bharat cannot rule properly. So I have to stay somewhere deep in the forest. So can you suggest where should I stay? And Valmiki laughs. You are asking me that where will you stay? My Lord, my question is, where do you not stay? Tell me. You are everywhere. You are everywhere. In each atom you are there. And now you are asking me, where will you stay? And then Lord Rama is smiling. Valmiki, stop all that philosophy. In this avatar that I have taken, you know, kindly tell me, where should I go and stay? I am asking you as the Prince of Ayodhya, not as the Supreme Lord. You know, please tell me, where should I stay? And then Valmiki makes a very beautiful point. He says, 14 places... Lord, you stay in 14 places. What are those 14 places? I won't cover today. It will be too long. But in general, he says, the place where your Katha goes on, my Lord, go and stay there. Where they worship Tulsi Devi, my Lord, go and stay there. Where they worship Gomata, go and stay there. Where the whole family worship Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, go and stay there. Where the whole family worships you together, praise you together, my Lord, go and stay there. Where husband and wife do not fight, my Lord, go and stay there. Like that, Valmiki gives 14 places. Lord Ram, please go and stay there. So out of that one place, he says, where the devotees' ears are as big as an ocean, just like in an ocean, no matter how many rivers join, the ocean never overfloods. It always grabs the water in. Similarly, a devotee who hears your Katha relishing it so much, you know, not that, oh, it's enough of it, you know, wants more and more, he has a ear like a ocean. That means he has a greed for attachment for hearing your Katha. My Lord, go and stay in such devotee's house. So that means we need to develop that attachment for hearing Krishna Katha, because Lord will come and stay in that place where the devotee is hearing Krishna's Katha. So here the gopis are saying, Tava Katha Amritam. My Lord, we are hearing your Katha. It is Shravana Mangalam. There is nothing inauspicious. Everything becomes auspicious when somebody hears your Katha. And then the final point the gopis make is, who is telling this katha? Your devotees who are so merciful, so magnanimous. They travel and they go and tell your katha to everybody. They go and preach about you. They talk about you, my Lord. Bhuvi grinanti ye bhuridajana. The gopis are, why are the gopis praising the devotees? Because the gopis want to taunt Krishna. The gopis want to say, Krishna, your devotees are so kind. They know very well that people in this material world are suffering and crying and they are in painful condition. The only way to make them happy is to give them Krishna Katha. So they travel and they spread your glories and they talk about you and they give them relief. Such a nice heart your devotees have. But how come you have so cruel heart? You are not coming in front of us. Your devotees are so kind. Because you are not coming, at least they are coming, they are giving, they are saying their Krishna Katha and making us relief. But how come your devotees having so good heart, how come you don't have that good heart? You are killing us. You are not coming and being present in front of us. How can you be so cruel, Krishna? Please come back. Don't do that. We are somehow surviving by hearing your Katha. But please come back. We are eagerly waiting to see you, my Lord. Please come back. So here in this beautiful sloka, the gopis are saying that how Krishna's katha is so very powerful, so very powerful. So this is a very beautiful sloka. There's so many beautiful pastimes connected to it. And the tomorrow's class, we will touch a little bit on this sloka more and then we will dive into other slokas. I'll end it here for today. And we'll continue tomorrow from where we have stopped. I'll end it here today. Gopi Geet Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Over to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. So we are always swinging between this and that and this and that because the problem is our goal is not fixed. We don't know what we want. If we, our goal is fixed, then there will not be so much problem to select what you want to do or what you don't want to do. Automatically your material interactions will become less. But the problem now is we actually enjoy it. A little. And in fact, what is happening now is continuous Krishna consciousness makes us suffocate. Because we have not yet developed a taste. So we are like, we want a little of this, we want a little of that, and we want a little of everything. So that is not giving us a pure taste of Krishna consciousness. That means we need to make an effort. We'll need to make an effort because it's not going to come spontaneously. That means we'll have to make a conscious effort and take Krishna consciousness as a medicine for now in proper doses so that slowly it will cure our disease and then a spontaneous ruchi will come up and then we'll not have to force ourselves. Because now the disease is too high, we will have to force ourselves into a particular schedule wherein we hear this much of katha, this even if we have taste or we don't have taste, but we keep doing it, then we will have taste. Like many times devotees ask Prabhupada, you know, one time devotee Brahmananda Prabhu asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, when you enter the room, everybody is paying obeisances to you, but I don't feel like paying namaskaram or obeisances to you. What should I do? So Prabhupada said, whether you like it or you don't like it, you feel to do or you don't feel to do, do it. And slowly you will like it. So he said, but I'm not getting that bhava. Prabhupada said, forget about bhava. Just pay your obeisances. That's about it. So it is like, either you have a love marriage or you have an arranged marriage. If you're not able to love Krishna, for now we can have an arranged marriage with him and maybe we'll start loving him. Because we know to love him is our ultimate goal. So what we need to do is till we develop the taste, we do it forcibly. We hear Krishna Katha, we take a particular dose in our life, this much of vanchan, reading of Prabhupada books, this much of hearing, this much of chanting, taking of Krishna Prasad. And it's a slow process. It'll happen. It doesn't happen overnight for anybody. And all of us are in this process and all of us are trying to develop taste. some of them may have succeeded to get a little more than us, or some of them may be a little behind us, but then we are all in the line and we are all trying. The process is correct. We are on the right track, but we just need to keep doing it. Because this whole process is like a walker in a gym. You know what happens with the walker in a gym? You just keep walking, that's all. We may feel, hurry, this is so boring, you know, every day, same machine, same walking, same machine. Oh, I'm not enjoying it, but that's all right. At the end of the month, you will see you have reduced weight. You may not like it, you may not have any kind of a, oh wow, this is so nice, you may not feel like that, right? Like we may not feel at this moment any taste for Krishna consciousness or any taste for Krishna katha, but we keep doing it and we keep doing it. And at the end of the month, at the end of the year or the end of few years, you will see, oh come on, I really lost weight. I really lost the weight of anarthas. I really lost the weight of my ego, my pride, my material attraction. Yeah, I did lose all that weight. So it's not going to happen definitely in a day. We are going to follow the diet and we are going to do this exercise and it's going to work. Because the path is very clear. And we are all following the same path. Nobody's following anything different. I hope this answers your question, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Okay, is your question that how do we read Prabhupada books, if that is your question?
Yes.
Okay, now actually we can even take a class on this particular subject. But simple tip is that you take a pen and a pencil and a notebook and it's very simple. You just start reading them, and wherever you don't understand or wherever you like the points, you mark it and you make a notes of it. And for extra help, if some devotee has spoken on that particular verse, then you can hear that devotee speak on that verse and then again you read it. So that way a lot of doubts will be cleared, and you will enjoy it. Because when somebody already explains that verse in detail with some little anecdotes or some little analogies and stories, and then you again hear that verse and read that verse and mark that verse, then it is, you will enjoy it, you will relish it more. And you can make notes. That will help you a lot, because whatever points are important, because sometimes, you know, if you just keep reading, then it doesn't go so much to the head. But if for everything you read, if you take a book and you take some note, you know, what is the important point? Or rather, what did I learn from this? Or what is heart-touching from this? Or if you just start taking everything as if, you know, as if Prabhupada wrote this purport for you only, you know, then you will really enjoy it. Everything that he says, you know, you just try to connect it to our life. It will be so nice. Because sometimes what happens when we read those purports, we actually try to connect it to somebody else. Oh, that devotee is like that, this devotee is like that, you know. But if we can try and connect it to us and hear about that verse from some devotees, mark the important point with pencil, wherever you are confused, stop it and ask with your other seniors or mentors. Because sometimes if you are confused or you are a little you know, problem at one particular point, and if you still continue, then you will not relish it, because that will be there in back of your mind. So you can stop there and mark it and then clarify it. So this is a very simple thing I'm saying, but we can even have a different class on this, how to systematically go about reading it. But this is something I'm saying, for a beginning, you can start with this, you know, making notes of all the important slokas. You can maintain a separate sloka book where all the important slokas you can note down, and whatever interesting stories or analogies that you like, you can write down. And you can make a notes of all the important points, what you reflected from this particular sloka. And you can even maintain a journal. There's so many things you can do. Maybe some other day we can take a class on this particular topic and we can go deeper. And we can actually study together a particular small book of Prabhupada and see how do we go about book reading. We can do that sometime. Thank you, Mataji. Okay, uh-huh. Oh, you want me to tell you the climax? The movie is not over. How can I tell you the ending of the story? For that you'll have to join us tomorrow, and then here. See, if I tell the suspense of the movie, then you won't enjoy it. So now there's lots of other actions happening, and we'll see at the end of the movie what does our hero do? Does he come back? Does he not come back? What he will do? So. That just 24 hours. Tomorrow we are going to come to the climax of the story.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.